Chaturanga. So Om Ganatimadandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yenatas Mai Shri Gurave Namaha. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of our spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who has so kindly opened our eyes with the torch light of knowledge while we were blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So I thought it would be very nice to talk about compassion, particularly since this is the month of December in which Christmas is celebrated and the appearance of Lord Jesus Christ, who was considered to be a Shaktavesh avatar of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shaktavesh avatar means an empowered personality who comes down from the spiritual world for us, to save us. There's many Shaktavesh avatars who have appeared. And of course, in our Krishna Consciousness Movement, we respect, honor, worship His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, whose Didi Murti you see on the seat of honor, the Vyasasan there. So there's many personalities come down from time to time from the spiritual realm out of compassion, not because they want to come here and enjoy like the rest of us, or attempt to enjoy, but they come down because they are actually feeling great compassion. So we're going to talk about compassion today. And of course, particularly in the activities and pastimes of Lord Jesus Christ, we find compassion manifested even when he was being crucified. He said about the people who were crucifying him, and he was praying to God, he said, "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do." So that is really a very high state of compassion, where one is ignoring their own comfort for the happiness and welfare of others. And also we know that he passed away because he was accepting the sins of his followers or of his disciples. Very, very interesting. Let's examine what is compassion, because it's important for us to distinguish between compassion and sentiment. Because compassion means you got to have sentiment, but sentiment in and of itself is not sufficient for compassion. So there's other ingredients other than sentiment or a feeling of trying to help other people. So I've analyzed this as follows. There's actually three basic ingredients of real compassion. One of them is what we call para dukkha dukkhi. That means being ready to sacrifice or make sacrifices on one's own behalf for the welfare of others. In other words, considering others' happiness more important than your own. Of course, there was one famous personality in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. His name was Vasudev Dutt. And he prayed to Lord Chaitanya. He said, "Let me stay in this material world forever and suffer all the sins for everybody so everybody can go back to the spiritual world." Now, I don't expect any of you to come to that platform, and I don't expect myself to come to that platform either. But Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, said that this personality, Vasudev Dutt, was compassion personified. So this is an idea of the concept of para dukkha dukkhi. I mean, that's an extreme example, but something that we can, let's say, focus on and understand the principle of para dukkha dukkhi. The second principle is very important too, which means the second principle is that one must have some understanding of what is good for a particular individual whom you're attempting to be compassionate for or of. In other words, there has to be some knowledge. If you're not in knowledge, then your compassion could be misplaced and actually even hurt the person. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. So there has to be knowledge, and not only jnana, there has to be vijnana, which means practical application of that knowledge. I mean, sometimes you can have some spiritual knowledge or knowledge of what's good for someone. For example, let's say a doctor, sees that you have some growth. Okay, so there's some growth on your arm or something like that, and it's diagnosed as cancerous, melanoma or something like that. And so you know that it should be cut off. But unless someone has practical knowledge on how to do it, they can create more problems than they solve, right? So that's jnana and vijnana. Those are the two ingredients very, very important to have for compassion. And the third standard for compassion is the willingness to sacrifice one's own happiness for others. And the feeling, actually the feeling, the mood, the feeling that one has to, it's an impetus that one feels from one's heart. So when one has those particular requisites, then one can exhibit real compassion. But if one doesn't have the real requisites, then there may be problems. I'm going to give some examples of problems that could occur. One is, let's say, one feels very compassionate, very sentimental towards a drunkard. And the drunkard is coming up to you on the street and asking you for money. He's saying, please give me, they used to say, please give me a dime for a cup of coffee. Nowadays, you can't buy anything with a dime. But anyway, please give me $5 for a cup of coffee at Starbucks. So you may feel, oh, this poor drunkard and like that, and give him $5. And then he'll go out and buy some liquor instead of buying coffee. Anyway, coffee, that's another issue. Coffee we're not going to talk about right now. But in any case, he'll misuse what you give to him. And interestingly enough, according to the laws of karma, not only is that misplaced compassion, but you got to suffer a reaction. Krishna himself in the Gita talks about charity in three different modes. Does anyone know what the three modes of nature are? We're going to keep everybody awake because it's getting hot in here. What? Raja. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. So there's charity in those three modes as well as transcendental charity. Okay. Charity in the mode of ignorance is that you give it to someone without considering the time, the place, the person, what they're going to do with it. Obviously, that's giving charity to a drunkard, and you get in trouble. Charity in the mode of passion is you give something to someone, and you expect something in return. Charity in the mode of goodness is you give without any expectation of return, and you give to the proper person, time, place, circumstance like that. And transcendental charity is you give to Krishna, his representative, and you expect a return. You want spirituality. You expect love, devotion, bhakti. It's interesting, isn't it? When we worship Krishna, we give to Krishna. The only thing we ask for in return is what? More service, bhakti, love. That's it. Like Krishna said to the gopis gave up everything for him. Their respectable position in society and joined him in the middle of the night. He's the only person the ladies should join in the middle of the night. Otherwise, stay with your husbands. So, but if Krishna plays his flute, that's all right. Then you have my permission. So, anyway, and you actually hear his flute. Not many of us hear Krishna's flute. Anyway. But Krishna said to the gopis, there's only one thing I can repay you with. I can't repay you. You have to be satisfied with your own devotion. So that's transcendental charity or something given to Krishna. So anyway, so the drunkard is one example. Giving to a drunkard is one example how misplaced sentiment, misplaced compassion. Another example is divine grace Srila Prabhupada gives is that once upon a time, there was a boy who was raised by his aunt. And this boy, the aunt was very sentimental towards the boy. Oh, poor boy, his mother and father have died. Whatever he wants, I'll give him. Oh, whatever he wants. So the boy, actually, not having any discipline, grew up to be a criminal. And, of course, the aunt even liked that more because he was giving her some of the fruits of the criminal act. He would bring back, like, gold chains from ladies that he had ripped off the chain from. And she said, oh, what a nice nephew I have. And then eventually he became a murderer. And he was condemned to death. He was caught by the police and government. And he was condemned to death, and he was asked, do you have any final wishes? And he said, yes, I want to whisper something in my aunt's ear. And so his aunt came up, put her ear, and he bit her ear. Ooh. Not prasadam. And the aunt asked, why did you bite my ear? You know, bit my ear, it's painful. And he said, because you never took care of me and trained me up properly. So there's misplaced compassion there. Another example Prabhupada gave, these are Prabhupada's examples, was one time Prabhupada walked to his house and he saw that there was a mother really chastising her son. And Prabhupada said, what has your son done wrong? And it was explained to him that this mother's son had given her other son, an elder son, aparta. And this elder son had typhoid. Because the little boy went to his brother, younger brother, and he said, oh, I want some aparta. I'm hungry. So there's misplaced compassion there. Without knowledge, that's the point. Without proper knowledge and how to apply it. And another example is from the Shastras, that's Arjuna. Arjuna was feeling misplaced compassion for what? Who? His relatives. And when Krishna said, what? What did Krishna ask him to do? Chant Hare Krishna? To fight. And he said, no. And his bow slipped from his hand. He was crying. Imagine a big, big soldier crying in the middle of the battlefield. Pretty embarrassing, isn't it? And Krishna also said, you know, this is pretty embarrassing. You know, you're acting like a non-Aryan here. And so that's another example of misplaced. Another example from the Mahabharata war was Grandfather Bhishma. And this is from the Bhagavad Gita, it's a very interesting verse, where Bhishma blew on his conch shell to give joy to Duryodhana. Because Duryodhana, understandably, was feeling depression. He was very depressed. And he was thinking, oh my God, God is on the other side. Anyways, he was thinking, you know, how are we going to win this battle, you know? And then Grandfather Bhishma blew on his conch shell and just gave joy to the heart. So that was misplaced compassion for someone. So even sometimes someone on the spiritual platform, really, really elevated, develops misplaced compassion. You know, they're just not attentive enough. There's the example of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj was on one of the highest platforms of Krishna consciousness. It's called Bhava. That's the platform of spiritual emotions, where you start to shake in ecstasy each time you hear Krishna's name. Krishna! Nobody's on that platform here. I tried. I just tested you all. You're all, I say Krishna, and you all go, fall asleep. But anyway, so that's Bhava. That's a really high platform right before absolute pure love of Krishna. And what did Bharat Maharaj do? He saw a little baby deer, and the mother died, and he took care of the baby, which is all right. We have no objection to pets. You can have cats, dogs, whatever you like. But he gave all of his love to the baby deer and neglected his spiritual practices. And as a result, what happened? Does anyone know? Became a deer in his next life. Like that song, what, doe a deer, a female deer. He became a deer, and he really understood he had made a big mistake at that point. So even a spiritualist, an advanced spiritualist, has to be careful about misplaced compassion. He has to be very, very attentive in that regard. So even real compassion, let's say a spiritualist is really compassionate, sometimes people misunderstand him and criticize him for that. That happens sometimes too. I mean, just like, all right, let's go back to Jesus Christ. What did he do? He went into the temple in Jerusalem and stopped the animal killing, right? Because they were slaughtering lambs. They had a whole market there. You could buy your lamb for killing right at the entrance to the temple. And he also overturned the money changers' tables. And people thought, oh, he's horrible. But actually, it was compassion. He was trying to bring people to a higher spiritual level. And from the Vedic literatures, we have something that's perhaps a little similar. You have Narada Muni. Everybody knows who Narada Muni is? No. Yeah, Narada Muni travels. Narada means the guy who travels. He travels places chanting Hare Krishna, Radhika Ramana Namane. He has a good time. He doesn't have to worry about the airport being snowed in because he can travel on his own. Travels with his veena instrument. He's a musician. He's a traveling musician. So Narada Muni was traveling one time, and he saw that the sons of this one person named Daksha were meditating. Daksha, at that point, people could have a lot more sons than they have nowadays. Daksha had 10,000 sons. That's a lot, right? And they were meditating. And he preached to them, and he said, well, why are you meditating? And they said, we're meditating so we can just go into business and become good grahasas. And then he said, well, if you're really qualified, you could take sannyas. And he gave them some instructions. They all took sannyas, became spiritualists. And the father got really upset. But then he thought, well, let me try again. So he had another 1,000 sons. And Narada Muni did the same thing. And then the father got so angry, he cursed Narada Muni. Because Narada Muni was just showing compassion to people. Actually, and he cursed Narada Muni in different ways, but he actually cursed Narada Muni not to remain in one place for very long in the material world. So Prabhupada also said that when he first came to the West and started preaching Krishna consciousness, many people joined, much to the chagrin of their parents. Later on, their parents appreciated. Just like when I joined, my mother said, I'm dying because you joined the Krishna consciousness movement. I'm having a heart attack. You're going to be the cause of my death. Now, about 40 years later, she's still going strong. I mean, she swims for an hour a day, you know, back and forth laps. She's 82 years old, drives a car, has more strength than me. So anyway, so the parents, understandably, they got upset. You know, here's their poor little son or daughter, you know, dressing in a real strange way and going out in the streets and going Hari Bol, shaving off all their beautiful hair. And, you know, it's understood. So Prabhupada said that the parents, sometimes they cursed him. And Prabhupada said because of that curse, then he couldn't stay in one place for very long. So they misunderstood his compassion. And Prabhupada said he wants to transfer his curse to his disciples so they can preach and travel. So I think I've taken that curse for Prabhupada because I'm leaving on January 1st to travel. Anyway, that's why I'm not here that much. So there's an example, another example of, you know, people not understanding real compassion. And just one final example of people not understanding real compassion, thinking it's cruelty, is sometimes people think Krishna is real cruel because look what he did to the Pandavas and Queen Kunti, right? Wow. I mean, when you hear that story, you think, well, better not to be a devotee of Krishna, you know. You know, but Queen Kunti, interestingly enough, was asking for more difficulty. Tatra, tatra, jagat guru. She asked Krishna for more difficulty so that he would always come. And interestingly enough, one time after the battle of Kurukshetra, when the Pandavas were in charge of the kingdom Hastinapur, this one devotee came to them, Narada Muni came to them, and he said, you're very fortunate. They said, no, we're not fortunate because Krishna's not here anymore, so we're trying to dream up some problems so Krishna will come. So you see, from an external perspective, it appears that, you know, what is Krishna doing to his devotee? But from their perspective, I mean, I better not say this. But anyway, we might not mind being in trouble if Krishna was always coming personally. I said it. So if Krishna was always like right in front of your face, you know, coming with his threefold bending form playing his flute, you wouldn't mind that, would you? No, that would be cool. So that's a different set, because Krishna was always coming personally, so that's a caveat. Anyway, so sometimes people misunderstand, especially Krishna's statement, yashaham anugrinami harishe tadunam shanai, for those who I especially favor, sometimes they take everything away from them. They think it's not compassion. So, but Well, let's go over some more real compassion examples. I don't want to go on forever, but this is interesting for me. Here are some examples of people that we can take as, you know, role models. One example I was thinking of was Advaitacharya, who was thinking of the welfare of everybody, and because of his prayers, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Another example that may not seem like compassion was Narada Muni cursing Manigriva and Nalakuvara. Remember, they were the two boys who were in the Mandakini Ganges with the Heavenly Society girls, and they were naked, and they didn't offer obeisances, and they didn't put on clothes. And Narada Muni said, curse them, become trees. But later on, they got a chance to, what? See who? They saw Krishna. Krishna knocked them down. That's pretty good. Another example of real compassion is Prahlad's prayers. Prahlad saw Lord Nrsingadev and appeased Lord Nrsingadev. And what did he pray? He said, I'm full of compassion for these fallen conditioned souls. And even I'm full of compassion for my father. Can you imagine someone? I mean, we see the world today, isn't it, that we have, I mean, I was just reading about the attacks between Israel and the Palestinians and how people think they're going to end violence by more violence. It doesn't work like that. It's a cycle of violence. Of course, it is very interesting that all over the world, people are being educated that violence is the solution. I mean, even in America, of course, we have our video games, isn't it? And we're educated, you know, if the way to win is to shoot, you know, you have these shooting video games, to shoot the person coming around the corner before he shoots you. I mean, some video games are good, like the Wii, where you can exercise. But some of them really train you in violence. In the movies, a child, by the time he's 18, has seen like 30,000 murders. And most of them have been done by the good guys. So, and then what to speak of in other countries? I was reading that in many countries, the children are taken in the school and they're trained with their little minds, their little flexible minds, they're trained to think of, you know, the opposing country as a bunch of demons. I was reading about this, like in Pakistan, for example, the children are taught to think that actually India used to be part of Pakistan. You know, and then they broke away from Pakistan, you know, Hare Krishna, you know. You know, they change history to instill in people this hate, fervor of hate. So there's one generation after another feeling the hate. This cycle has to stop. Anyway, but Prahlad Maharaj, getting back to the story, Prahlad Maharaj was saved by Lord Nrsingadev, who killed his father, but Prahlad Maharaj was not thinking, Jai, you killed my father, send him to hell. He was thinking, please, save him. And Lord Nrsingadev saved the father. He wasn't still alive, but he actually liberated Aranyakashipu. So there's an example. Haridas Thakur was whipped in 22 marketplaces. He prayed for the people who were whipping him. And in order so that they wouldn't get in trouble, he made believe he was dead. Lord Nityananda tolerated hitting on the pot by Madai, and he prayed for their welfare. Ambarish Maharaj, a story from the Vedic literatures, was cursed by Durvasa Muni because Durvasa Muni thought he was offended because Ambarish took a little water before he received Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni was chased all around by Krishna Sudarsan Chakra, but Ambarish Maharaj was praying for his welfare, and in fact, he just fasted for 1 year until Durvasa Muni came back, and he saved Durvasa Muni. So you see, that's a Vaishnava. So the question arises then, after we told all these nice stories, two more topics. Why should we develop compassion? What's in it for us? And how do we do it? Two more questions, all right? And then we can end class. That's a nice song. Listen to our mobile phone. Anyway, so we used to announce before class that anyone's mobile phone who goes off is giving a $100 donation to the deities. And then everyone turns it off, but I forgot today to do that. So in other words, What do we get out of being compassionate? I mean, besides compassion itself. And I would like to read two quotes from Srila Prabhupada Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, first of all, one who has no compassion is to be pitied. One who has no compassion for humanity in its suffering and does not sacrifice his impermanent body for the higher causes of religious principles or eternal glory is certainly pitied even by the immovable beings. In other words, you get pitied by the whole universe, poor person. And the second one is really even more interesting. In order to advance in Krishna consciousness, compassion is a necessary procedure, consciousness, paradigm. And Prabhupada says in a purport in Srimad Bhagavatam, one who is interested in his own salvation is not as advanced in Krishna consciousness as one who feels compassion for others and who therefore propagates the Krishna consciousness movement. You can even propagate the Krishna consciousness movement by sponsoring books. That is the sum. What such an advanced devotee will never fall down. So you're protected. For Krishna will give him special protection. That is the sum and substance, Prabhupada said, of the Krishna consciousness movement. Very interesting. So then the question arises, how can we develop this compassion? Okay. First way we do it is we associate and serve devotees who are compassionate, like His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Because those qualities rub off. Sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi, lava matra, sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoi. Even a little bit of association with a great devotee, those qualities rub off on us. And we can associate with Prabhupada by reading his books. We can associate by serving, by sponsoring books, like we said before, serving this Krishna consciousness movement, helping others, getting others to chant. I mean, there's millions of ways you can associate with Prabhupada. And another way we can develop compassion, this is maybe the most difficult, is by controlling our senses. Naturally, if someone does something that precipitates our anger, then we get angry, isn't it? So we have to learn how to deal with anger, to take responsibility for our own anger. Not to say that that person caused my anger, but that person, what he did, precipitated the anger, but it was actually my own anartha. Kama, krodha, amada, matsarya, baryabhaya, the six anarthas. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear. And we have to work on that. As actually Rupa Goswami says, vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udurupashto vegam. The one, in order to help others, has to help others become teacher, guru, one has to control the tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words. This is the key. Then, another step in becoming compassionate is to see everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gabi hashtani shuni chaiva swapake cha pandita samadarshana. To see everyone. Why do we need to see like that? Because we're all brothers and sisters. Even the great Christian saint, Saint Francis, would address the animals, brother this, sister this, because we're all relatives, just like you treat your relatives very nicely. So we're all relatives. We're all spiritual relatives. This is true unity of all living entities. You know, nowadays, of course, there's some problems with racism and speciesism and this and ism and that ism. But when we see the true equality, yastu sarvani bhutani atmane vanupashati, sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tatona vigigushati, then we don't hate anyone. We can actually love everyone. So this is an important ingredient for compassion. And finally, there's another nice quote from Srila Prabhupada I'd like to read. As far as how we should act, Prabhupada said, every man should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. Naturally, nowadays, when we meet a person more qualified than ourselves, what do we feel sometimes? Envy. Ooh. They can speak better than me. They're richer than me. Or what else? They're more handsome or more beautiful than me. Like that. So we should be very pleased. That's an austerity. We should be pleased. when we meet someone less qualified than ourselves, we should be compassionate towards them. And when we meet someone equal to ourselves, we should make friendship with them. In this way, Prabhupada said, we will never be affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. So this is a brief lesson in compassion. So we don't want to go on too long. So anyone have any questions about these points? About compassion in general, examples,
education?
Well, if you don't have it, you associate with people who have. That's the general. And you listen to, they'll tell you how to develop that compassion. They'll facilitate you in developing that compassion. Yes. I mean, because in the material world, we're filled with other things that run contrary to compassion. Like I said, lust, anger. Lust is the opposite. You know, it runs contrary. It's counterproductive. Lust, anger, greed, illusion runs counter. So we need to get rid of these things. Yes.
What do you think happened with that whole story about Jesus, that God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten son?
Yeah.
That never made sense to me when I was growing up, and I always got slapped for saying that. But doesn't it seem like Krishna would not do something so silly like that?
To send
somebody to get slaughtered by other people?
Well, a devotee is actually more compassionate than Krishna. That a devotee is ready to sacrifice. Just like you see, I mean, of course, Prabhupada didn't get slaughtered, but Prabhupada sacrificed his very health. I mean, and it just running, you know, imagine at his advanced age just running around the world so quickly like that. And just like at a marathon, I mean, just like when I travel, for example, I get this thing called jet lag. Anyone's heard of jet lag before? You know, I'm going to India, and then a day is going to feel like night, night's going to feel like day, and I'm going to say, oh, I need some time to chill out. So, but Prabhupada didn't do that. And obviously, there was inconvenience for him.
But don't you think that story was just made up?
I am not qualified to talk about that. A lot of what you hear in the Christian liturgy came later. That was not the direct teachings of Jesus Christ, but the teachings of theologians. So, I mean, one would have to do some real heavy research. I mean, even the concept of Trinity, it's not that Jesus Christ taught that, or his direct followers taught that. That was one example. So we'd have to... There's been some changes, yeah. So one would have to see what are the original teachings of Jesus Christ and honor those original teachings. Just like Krishna himself said that he taught the Bhagavad Gita millions of years ago to Vivaswan, the sun god, but then the teachings became lost. So over the course of time, teachings even of a bona fide spiritual preceptor can be lost because there's a break in the chain. So there's every possibility. So I'm not really positing myself as an authority about the ecclesiastical principles of Christianity, and you'll find so many differences of opinion, it's unimaginable anyway. So, but the main thing, I'm taking the essence, which is his compassion, that he was willing to pray for the welfare of people who were attacking him. Haridas Thakur did the same thing. That's really the essence to me. The people were putting him on the cross and he said, forgive them. That is so remarkable that it's something that I look up to and admire and worship. Yeah.
I remember when I first joined the movement, they always had that play, and they would say that, you know, not to be, you know, compassionate just to the dress of the person, like if someone's drowning.
Yeah, that's what I said.
You shouldn't just, and then they had the example of the bird in the cage.
Yeah.
So then at the same time, it seems that how do we find that balance of, you know, helping people to advance spiritually and teaching them about the eternal nature of their soul,
right,
and at the same time taking care of the needs so that people can
progress. I mean, a spiritualist is is conscious and wants to help people with all their needs, not only the spiritual needs. There's that example of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the spiritual master of my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and his disciples were actually ignoring the beggars who were suffering in the streets, and he chastised his disciples, and he said, no, you have to be compassionate and help these beggars. Don't think that you're better. That's false pride to think that you're better than them. So it's a balance, and it has to be done with discrimination. But in any case, we don't want to mislead people or help people entangle themselves further in the laws of karma, like the drunkard I mentioned, by our compassion, our sentiment, sorry. That, so one has to apply their intelligence like that. So it's like in the Krishna conscious movement, we distribute tons of food. Actually, I don't know if many of you are aware, but we give a lot of food out to the soup kitchens, but it's all prasadam. And that is, anyone who takes that, I mean, I have receipts for literally thousands and thousands of dollars worth of food, and people are giving us donations for that in this Christmas time. But anyone who takes that prasadam, they're getting materially satisfied as well as spiritually elevated. Like Prabhupada said, one who takes even a sweet ball is called a Simply Wonderful. Anyone's heard of a Simply Wonderful? You don't have them nowadays. But anyway, sweet ball. Prabhupada said, if one takes a Simply Wonderful, then they'll come to the temple and that's Simply Wonderful. Then they'll become a devotee, that's Simply Wonderful. And one devotee said to Prabhupada, you were Simply Wonderful. And Prabhupada said, that's all right. But anyway, so, but the point is that by prasadam distribution, so there you're satisfying people's material needs. So, and spiritual needs. And we have large organizations associated with the Krishna Conscious Movement, like the Food for Life International Organization, which we work with sometimes, that help distribute prasadam worldwide. In Vrindavan, that I'm going to Vrindavan January 1st, and one of my friends, Rupa Raghunath, runs this very large food distribution program and school for the residents of Vrindavan. There's many, many poor people in Vrindavan. And wonderful, wonderful program. You know, you can sponsor a child. It's on the internet. You can sponsor a child there. And they're all taught chant Hare Krishna, and they're all taking prasadam. And anyway, so it's a balance. So I think, Sharanam, you had a question? Yeah. Yeah.
The caste system is polluted and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
But still, sometimes you see that there's a tendency, and the tendency for like someone in a Kshatriya nature is not to forgive and not to think nicely about someone attacking. So if we kind of have more of that mentality, like the friends and enemies kind of thing, is it something that we just like dovetail in Krishna?
Then you have to be guided. That's why the Kshatriyas are guided by the Brahmanas. Because the Brahmanas understand that, hey, but in Kali Yuga, Ekon Dharma, the one Dharma is chanting Hare Krishna, and really all of us are meant to come to that platform. Like it, even about Kshatriyas, it's described about Bhim saying he was like a trampled snake, he never forgave. Whereas Yudhisthira was a Jata Shatru, he never considered anyone to be his enemy. So the Vedic system was set up so the Brahmanas would always actually supervise the Kshatriyas. But the Brahmanas had no personal agenda. They didn't get any money from it. They didn't get any wealth, you know, anything. They just did that in a detached way. So in that way, the Kshatriyas were kept in check. So, okay. One more question? Yeah, agree. Gradual. It occurs even in the beginning. When you associate with a devotee such as Srila Prabhupada, advanced devotee, then immediately you start to develop some qualities. Yeah, it happens. Like the sun coming up in the morning, it's a little bit bright, then it gets brighter, brighter, you're able to see some shadows. After a while, you can see the colors. After a while, you can distinguish everything. So there's hope. I think being compassionate upon everybody, it's probably time for prasadam, right? That's real compassion, not to keep everybody sitting, being fidgety for a long period of time. So I'm feeling great empathy with everybody. with me, I can speak for hours and hours and hours, but I feel empathic for all of you. So all glories to His divine grace to the Prabhupada. That's fine.
It makes it feel fidgety, but sorry.
No, but I don't mind the kids.
Okay.
But the adults, I was noticing the adults.
Okay.
No, it's good the kids are here. I like it.